it's the end of time. And the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
Make our own. Welcome, folks. This is your host, James Kelso, with the Trump phenomenon up here in North Dakota, catching catfish from dusk till dawn. Actually, I don't do that. I've never actually caught a catfish. But I am up here in North Dakota, the least visited state in America. And happy to have you visiting us via this show today, the Trump phenomenon. 5 days a week, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday. We skip Saturday, and you can call into the show at 800-313-9443. How do you like them apples? And here we go tonight with another update in the Trump phenomenon. Well, the big story is not what it should be. The big story is what the demon rats... The demon rats don't want the story that should be even happening, which is the revolutionary Donald Trump government unfolding as it would if it weren't blocked at every opportunity. And that's the story. Tonight, the Trump government is being blocked. The media is in a full-fledged frenzy against Donald Trump, and that's the story every day. The latest installment of this Trump derangement syndrome, the latest hoax, the latest lie, the latest complete prevarication, the latest conspiracy, because all of this is done, in fact, with complete coordination between the demon rats of the political world and the demon rats of the media world. They are all part of the same conglomerate, the same Borg of left-wingers. The latest is, again, has all the classic ingredients of Trump derangement syndrome, a completely fabricated, and this, you know, if only George Orwell were alive today, he would so love to witness what's going on. Complete fabrication. This is what the Ministry of Truth did in 1984. They completely made things up out of whole cloth. Well, the latest scandal is that Donald Trump had a phone conversation, we are told, by an unnamed, mysterious person who is supposedly, we're not, that person isn't saying anything, somebody who knows about the unnamed, an unnamed mysterious person who knows about the unnamed mysterious person who supposedly heard something that Donald Trump said that was really bad. But we don't know what it is. We don't even know what the subject is. We don't know whether it was even said. We don't know anything. But there's a scandal. There's a scandal. There must be a scandal. Somewhere there's a scandal. And the president must be impeached over this right away, even though we don't have any idea what it is. I mean, folks, this is at the level of insanity. This is full cuckoo, whack job, nutty. Anyway, we have to endure this. That's all the television will put on the air. It's just like the fake wars that were put on the air on the telescreen in 1984. There was no war going on, but they were shown scenes of helicopters and gunships and casualties and people dying and horrors of war, and so there wasn't even a war going on, or vice versa. There might be a war going on, but they were shown nothing of that. So it's all made up. Anyway, so that's the latest thing. Then the next thing we've got going is the Iran story, and Donald Trump acquitting himself very well in that. I'll give you Kelso's take on this. I think the crazy mullahs of Iran want a war. I think they want a war. I think they're in desperate shape. I think the sanctions that Donald Trump has put on Iran are really biting. Their currency, their economy, everything, the whole government, the whole structure of these dictators of Iran, crazy mullah dictators, jihadis, is collapsing. And dictators in collapsing regimes, what is one of their, what did Joe Stalin need to keep himself afloat? He needed World War II. Thank you, Adolf Hitler, for giving it to him. It kept Joe Stalin afloat. But that's what dictators need. They need very often to resort to a war to avoid being overthrown by their own people. So that's my take on it. The mullahs want a war. I mean, look at it. You know, bombing oil refineries in Saudi Arabia, that's pretty brazen. Seizing big giant oil tankers in the Persian Gulf, that's pretty damn brazen. Shooting down American drones, that's pretty brazen. Running their little provocative machine gun equipped gunboats, having them zooming around the U.S. Navy in the Persian Gulf and the Straits of Hormuz, that's pretty damn brazen and stupid. That's people who are itching for a fight. I think the mullahs want to fight. Donald Trump is not giving them the fight they want. And he's frustrating them tremendously. He's simply going with crushing their regime with his sanctions. Brilliant by Donald Trump. Absolutely brilliant. At a certain point, if Americans are attacked, if American lives are lost, the mullahs are probably trying to think of a way of doing this. Donald Trump may be compelled to engage in military force against the mullahs. Frankly, if it were my decision to make, I'd strike the mullahs. If it comes to that, I'm all with Donald Trump. Don't give them the war they want. But if you have to go to war, don't go to war against the people of Iran. Don't go to war against the poor foot soldiers who have to do the bidding of the mullahs. Knock out the mullahs. We've got, you know, the capability, the precision, everything. Just knock those guys out, and you might fix the whole problem right there. Anyway, I like what Donald Trump's doing. Peace. And let's go with another prediction that came out of this show. Some time ago, I predicted the Democrat candidate was going to be Elizabeth Warren, and Matt Drudge has now joined in that opinion, and others are, I think it's looking that way, isn't it? It's going to be Elizabeth Warren. Joe Biden is collapsing pretty fast. So, and I'm looking forward to that. I love a Trump versus Pocahontas contest. Sounds great to me. Let me look at my phone board here and see who amongst you is out there who might want to get in on the conversation here. Nobody! The lines are completely open. So 800-313-9443 if you want to offer a thought. You could also might have watched the fantastic ceremony today where Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister of Australia, and his wife were greeted by Donald Trump and Melania. Jenny, she shares a name with Elizabeth Warren. Jenny Warren, his wife, and Melania and Donald out there on the White House lawn. It was a fantastic formal military occasion of state. There is a state dinner going on, I think probably as we speak. They're clicking the champagne glasses. Donald Trump's having either apple juice or Coke or seltzer water. He doesn't drink. And a wonderful ceremony, because Scott Morrison appears to be a man after Donald Trump's heart. And the so the Trump phenomenon is spreading in this case with Scott Morrison. The and the what the comments of Morrison, attend to my 8-year-old there for a second. The comments of Morrison were wonderful today. Donald Trump, wonderful. The bond between the Australian and American people, very much, both men have it, are very much in tune with their peoples and our two peoples, the 25 million Australians and the, how many of us are here in this country? Hey, we don't know, do we? We don't have much of any damn idea how many people are in the United States of America. I wonder why that is. Why don't we know how many people are here? When we really don't. Is it 320 million? Is it 330, 340, 350? Keep going. We don't know. And that's wrong. That's fatal, to not know how many people are in your country, to have lost control over the who is in your country to the degree that you don't know how many people are actually here. You, as Donald Trump said, a nation without borders is not a nation. Anyway, 25 million Australians and 300 and how many millions of us, what a great bond we have between our two peoples. Let's go to my favorite spot on the web. Yes, it is Donald Trump, his messages to us. His approval rating, we had a message from the president yesterday that his approval rating had risen to 51%. Now it's risen, according to the Rasmussen poll, to 52%. Darn good. Oh, I got my copy of Jeanine Pirro's book today, Judge Jeanine's book, Radicals Revolution. Now, let me find the book. Let me find the title. Boy, do I need to read this book. I got it for my daughter. I'm offering, I'm proposing Jeanine Pirro and Laura Ingraham as great models of brilliant women for my daughter to emulate. And let's go to see how Pirro's book is doing. Here it is. Radicals, Resistance, and Revenge. Let's see how highly ranked it is. Alrighty, I got a call, and I was very pleased. I didn't get my copy through the mail this time. I bought it today because I was extremely pleased to see this book, Radicals. Here it is. In my supermarket. Holy cow. And there were a bunch of copies in the supermarket. Hey, I hope that's a sign of the times. Where's the book ranked? It's ranked number 2 in United States government, number 6 in political commentary and opinion, number 5 in political conservatism and liberalism. It's number, well, that's, it's very highly ranked. Very highly ranked. And it just came out. And it's getting lots of 5-star reviews. All righty. So we'll talk a little bit about her book in a bit. And we've got a caller, Mike, in California, and also Murr in Wisconsin. Let us go first to Mike in California. You're on the air.
Hi, James. How are you?
Fine, thank you. What's on your mind?
Just a couple of things. Number one, your show is the reason that I switched party affiliations in 2016, because you actually gave Trump the ability to speak and not just give us little sound bites. You would play the entire speeches and not you know, not selectively cut like the Democrat media does. So I really appreciate that. And I was a lifelong Democrat. I voted for Al Gore and John Kerry and then Barack Obama back in 2008, unfortunately. But in 2012, I abstained because I was so disgusted by Obama's performance. But anyway, you're the reason why I gave Trump the chance in 2016. So thanks for helping me see the light. I had a
thank you. You're too kind, Mike. You really affect me with what you just said, and thank you. And I liked it. Thank you for the compliment or the remark about you need to hear Donald Trump in, you know, in a fuller context to really appreciate the depth of the man. Go ahead with your thought.
Well, so my thought was I had a slogan for his reelection campaign, and I think it's good because it's punchy and it's impossible to really argue with it if you actually love America. So my slogan would be, deport illegal aliens, house U.S. citizens. It could be either one sentence or it could be two sentences. And it's backed up by statistics. If you look at California, if you go county by county, you'll see that, there's more illegals than there are people without homes who are presumably U.S. citizens. And so how can you argue with a point like that?
Yes, that's true. All those millions of illegals, let's go back to that first thought in the show, like are how many scores of millions of people that shouldn't be here are here. Well, they're almost all of them are living in a home somewhere, and sleeping in a bed and cooking in a kitchen. Exactly so. All of that housing, if all those people were returned to where they came from, and what's so bad about that? I was talking with a great patriot earlier today about this question of immigration. You know, strike at the root. Go to the fundamentals of this. Why should there be any exchange of populations between the various nations of the world? Why should anybody be migrating anywhere? There's no reason for that. I don't migrate into my neighbor's yard and migrate into his kitchen and into his refrigerator. I stay in my house on my property. So does he and she. That works out just fine. That's, what do they say? Good fences make good neighbors. You don't migrate into the other guy. Yeah, you don't migrate into the other guy's territory. So strike at the root, folks. Think about it. If you're wondering about this question of immigration, what's the right amount of immigration? I'll tell you what the right amount is. Zero. Zero. That's the right amount of immigration if you want to have a baseline. Now, beyond zero, if you want to go to some other number, well, you've got to give me a real good case. Why should we allow X number of people from location A? Why should we let them in? Make a case. Because we're doing fine by ourselves, taking care of ourselves on our own property, in our own homes. Why should we let other people in? Give me a good case. And, you know, nobody's made any kind of a case for these immigrants at all. None whatsoever. We don't need the labor. All that. Oh, here's what all that labor's doing. Great. Thank you very much, cheap labor. It's depressing the wages of all working people in America. Depressing. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, not to mention inflating the housing prices because of supply and demand, which goes back to my second point, which was the statistics back me up for everything. I mean, if anybody ever comes up to you in a restaurant and or in a grocery store line complains about the price of rent, you say, hey, well, isn't it a horrible thing that the U.S. doesn't obey its own immigration law and lower your rent in the process? You know?
Oh, Mike, if we had adopted a zero immigration policy back in 1965 instead of the amended Immigration Act, thanks to America's favorite lifeguard, Ted Kennedy, and Emanuel Seller. We'll talk about it. Stay with me, Mike, and we'll be right back after this break.
In a white room with black curtains.
Concerned about being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John.
We're back, folks. We got Mike on the phone with us in California. We're talking about immigration, and you know, as we were the fade out music there, the beginning of the break was you may have recognized that was Eric Clapton, and let me tie that in a little bit, just a serendipitous connection here. I met Eric Clapton personally one time. We were both in a health food store in Santa Monica. At the corner of basically a corner of Arizona and 5th in Arizona. How can I not remember the name of the store there? It was my usual health food store. And there was this guy searching for yogurts next to me, shopping in the middle of the night. I was there and rummaging among the yogurts looking for my favorite flavor, which is blueberry. And the guy next to me was looking for yogurts. And then I looked over to the guy who was right next to me, and there he was. Son of a gun. It was Eric Clapton. We got into a good conversation. And anyway, so that was a chance to talk to Eric Clapton. But now the rest of the story. Oh, when was this too? This was, oh my goodness, when this would have been sometime around the year 2000, I don't know, 8 maybe. But in any event, the Eric Clapton has an interesting history as regards immigration. He was at a concert in on August 5th. Oh, that's my son's birthday. I like that. I'll hang on to that fact. On August 5th, 1976, Clapton provoked an uproar and lingering controversy, or as the British would say, controversy, when he spoke out against increasing immigration during a concert in Birmingham. Clapton voiced his support of controversial political candidate Enoch Powell. Now, Enoch Powell, folks, is a great man. He's gone now, but boy, was he a great man. And he gave a speech called the Rivers of Blood speech, which you might have a chance to talk about. He voiced his support of political candidate Enoch Powell and announced on stage that Britain was in danger of becoming a black colony. Among other things, Clapton said, "Keep Britain white." Yeah, Eric Clapton said that. This incident, along with some controversial remarks made around the same time by David Bowie, blah, 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 blah. So forget David Bowie. But that Eric Clapton is interesting to me. But he was supporting Enoch Powell, his Rivers of Blood speech, which we may have a chance to look up. Enoch Powell, let me see. Enoch Powell died in 1996. And what a man. A classical scholar, author, linguist, soldier, philologist, poet, conservative member of parliament from 1950 to 74. Then member of the Ulster Unionist Party, representing that party from 74 to 87, and Minister of Health from 60 to 63. He was a classical scholar before entering politics, became a full professor of ancient Greek at the age of 25 in Australia. Hey, that's our theme here tonight. Where was he born? He was born in Birmingham. So that concert was in Birmingham, England. He died in London. But he was great, and he was saying in his Rivers of Blood speech, he was prophesying the future. He was looking into the future and seeing it very, very clearly. So there it is. Eric Clapton had a moment of common sense there on the stage, realizing that Enoch Powell voicing the kinds of ideas that Donald Trump has advocated. So all of that connects. And Eric Clapton, let's see, how old is Eric Clapton now? He's born in 45. Interesting story. His name is his mother's name because his dad was a Canadian soldier in 45 during the war who went back to Canada. So he grew up without his dad. He used his mother's name. And so he's a little bit older than I am. He's now 74 years old. And my favorite song of Eric Clapton's was, some people think the greatest rock guitarist who ever picked up a guitar, but he's certainly in the top three or four in anybody's listing. My favorite song is the tribute he makes to his little son who fell out of a window, just sheer, terrible, terrible accident. And that's my favorite song by Eric Clapton. We got a little music here for a break, so hang on. We'll be with you at the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say. prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Why don't we liberate these United States? We're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first. Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who has been cursed? There's things to be done all over the world.
And Mike's on the phone with us from California, and Mike just shared very, very generous words where he, you know, gave me credit I don't deserve for somehow participating in his musical, his political evolution. But, hey, you know, do you know that song, Mike, Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton?
I don't, but I can look it up after I get off the phone here.
Let me play it for you. I think you do know it. It really went high as a song. You probably have heard it. And it's a wonderful song. You know, I'm saluting Eric Clapton for having realized that the threat of immigration to our country and to his country, to all the European countries, and his salute to Enoch Powell, who was one of the greats, one of the true heroes politically for us in our history. So this is a great man. And I'll tell you what, folks, it's borne out. You know, great people like Donald Trump, he's a warm, everybody around him who's known him says he's a just this wonderful, wonderful person, in addition to being a genius politically and so on. He's just a wonderful person. And that's I make that case, folks, that people who advocate for the health and well-being of our country. You guys are really high quality people, and I want to give you this song illustrates what a high quality man Eric Clapton is, who shares your views. Yeah, he's had to hide his views, and he hasn't been able to say those things since. What do they say? You'll never work in this town again. It's the way Hollywood operates. But the listen to this song. He had a four-year-old boy named Connor who very tragically fell out of a very high window in a skyscraper in New York to his death, only 4 years old. And, you know, just what a crushing thing to happen. And I have a picture here of Eric's beautiful wife at the time, beautiful Italian, beautiful, beautiful Italian woman, Lori Del Santo, stunning. So Connor must have been some handsome boy. But he fell to his death. And here's what Eric Clapton wrote. I'll read the lyrics to you, and then you'll listen to him sing them. He said, "Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven?" Now, any of you out there that have had a four-year-old will realize, if you think about it, as a mom or a dad, if you got to see your little boy in heaven, you'd wonder whether he'd remember your name. And so listen to the way he sings this. I'll put it back a little bit. If I saw you in heaven. And, you know, the thought there from that dad, you know, when you're bringing up your kids and they're 2 years old and 3 years old and 4 years old, they're just starting to learn words and to remember things. And then, you know, you're surprised at how they forget things. They just don't remember things that you remember clear as a bell, but your little child just doesn't remember. They just, you know, we forget. And a part of that process of those years. And so that's Eric Clapton wondering if he saw his little four-year-old boy in heaven, would the little boy remember and recognize and remember the name of his dad? What a beautiful song. Anyway, it's people like that make our civilization as great as it is. Anyway, I get emotional about that song. And I'm about a little boy, so that thought occurs to me. Anyway, Mike, did you have anything else you wanted to share with our audience?
Oh, yeah, real quick. I'm okay with legal immigration to a point. I mean, I've worked for tech companies in the past that were started by people who came here the right way and waited in line and contributed to the economy and created jobs for, you know, Americans. And I've gone on to use the, you know, the stuff that I learned from them to start up my own little businesses here and there, you know, employing myself and other friends of mine and providing other things for the American population as well as, you know, overseas, because I've done some, you know, cross-border work, let's say. So I'm okay with it if it's done the legal way and it contributes, you know. I mean, I don't think that it's right to be on, you know, come here and be on welfare and things like that. But and then also,
well, I hear you, Mike. Pardon me, interjecting. Let me just sort of share with you where I'm coming from. I hear your thought, and you know, it's good. But what I'm saying is that you ought to think of the world as a place that lasts forever, and as families and nations, as peoples, not as things that just come and go, but as things that last and are permanent, that go forever. It's kind of what Eric Clapton's singing about, seeing his son in heaven. He's singing about eternity. And we all wonder about that, and none of us know very much about it at all. But our people should be eternal. The people that gave birth to you, Mike, that people that goes back thousands of generations should go forward thousands of generations. And what I'm saying about immigration is this. The whole premise for it is wrong. There's no need. Let's just take, I don't want to inquire at all in your personal experience with immigration, but I'm just going to make up an example. You talked about tech. A lot of the people that have come over here to do tech in the U.S. were Indians. So somebody is bright, smart in tech, in computers, from India, and comes to the United States and starts a company. Well, what's the point of that? If this is a smart person, if this is India's best and brightest, hey, stay in India. Make that contribution. If you have some big contribution to make, make it in Mumbai or Bangladesh or Calcutta. Make that contribution there. We don't have any need here. We aren't like desperate for people with brains. We wouldn't have companies unless people came from China or India, whether they're bringing intelligence or money or anything else. The thing is, the point I'm making, Mike, is that a nation is a people. And the peoplehood of that people, that is the eternal legacy. That is the wonder. That is the beauty of the timelessness of our towns and our memories. And that's the precious thing, not whether our GDP grew or didn't grow, or whether this company or that company was successful. That's not what counts. And so that's my point about immigration. The whole thing is based on a lie that we Americans in particular, for some reason, we are the nation of immigrants, and we must welcome with open arms anybody in the world who wants to come here. That's just that's complete nuttiness. India doesn't do that. Nepal doesn't. Bangladesh doesn't. China doesn't. Thailand doesn't. What do they call Malaysia now? Myanmar, Burma, rather. They don't do that. Singapore doesn't do that. Nigeria doesn't. Chile doesn't. Peru doesn't. No nation welcomes invading populations from anywhere else in the world, except European nations. And we have somehow been afflicted with this guilt, this self-guilt, this feeling that we somehow need to expiate or atone for imaginary sins we didn't commit. And we must do so by welcoming everybody in with a mi casa es su casa, My house is your house. Well, no, it's not. Mi casa es mi casa. And su casa es su casa. And so that's my point, Mike, is that they're undergirding the whole immigration idea is a big lie. And, you know, for tech guys, if you're in tech and stuff, you're big in statistics. People who understand statistics know that if you get a graph or a curve where something is growing, seems like it's just growing slightly. But if you run a graph out indefinitely into the future, like let's say the population of Indians in America is going up, let's say, 5% a year. You go, ah, big deal, no big deal, 5% a year increase in Indian. No, well, sorry, if somebody else's graph is rising more steeply than your graph, guess what? They're gonna just run you over. And anybody who's in business knows that. Anybody who's in statistics knows that. Anybody who's in demographics knows that. You have to have stable numbers where nobody is increasing their percentage in your population. No, because the tyranny of numbers, you just run them out far enough, and that population, you know, you go, well, we're just letting 2 million Mexicans a year into the country. Yeah, big deal. What do we have, over 300 million people? What's the big deal? Why is this Kelso guy getting all red in the face over 2 million Mexicans? What is this guy is mean. Let's be nice to these poor people. No. 2 million a year means in short order, folks, with a birth rate of, let's say, a fertility rate of 6.0 instead of our 1.5, it means that we will be a minority and squashed in our own country in short order. That's why one of the websites I love is numbersusa.org, created by Roy Beck, because Roy Beck is a brilliant statistician who realizes it's about numbers. And if you don't understand numbers, you're dead. You're not going to make it. You got to have an understanding, a realistic understanding of the numbers in order to understand why there is no basis for immigration or migration one way or the other from any nation to any other nation. There's no reason to do it. And when there are anomalies in history, for instance, when Europeans discovered the New World, well, the New World was inhabited by a very sparse population of people who were living in what particular level of culture? They were living in the Stone Age. They were Neolithic Stone Age people. And that's not an insult to say they were living in the Stone Age. They were. And they were very sparse. So is that a situation in which you might say one population might very well inhabit a land and make it fruitful and multiply? Yes, which is what our ancestors did. It was a wonderful thing. It wasn't a brutal conquest. It wasn't a horrible crime. It could only be righted by all of us Europeans getting back on the Mayflower and going back to England, you know, and Europe. So... Go ahead, Mike.
I don't have the self-flagellation, the guilt of my gender and, you know, my race. I don't worry about that. And people have, you know, people haven't currently tried to make me feel guilty about it, but I'm sure it'll happen eventually, and I'm not going to feel guilty then because, you know, I'm not my great-great-great-grandfather, you know, so.
Yeah, and, you know, Mike, something that people don't realize, more people are led into the United States as immigrants than all the rest of the world put together. Just our one country. We allow more immigrants into our country than the whole rest of the world. China, India, China doesn't allow anybody in. Japan doesn't allow anybody in. You could take all the immigrants allowed into Japan and they could probably hold a meeting in a bus. The rest of the world doesn't, you know, so this is nonsense that we've adopted. The only nations allowing in numbers in the millions are nations like America, Canada. We started off the show with Australia. Australia has been afflicted with the same thing. And this Scott Morrison guy, he's tough on immigration. He's like Donald Trump. So there's a breakout of common sense going on in Australia. We've got this happening in other nations. like Poland and Hungary and so on. And we've got Brexit happening in Britain, Eric Clapton's country. But listen, Mike, thank you very much. Your call affected me. I appreciate you calling. And we're going to, I've got another caller, Skip, in California. I'm going to go to him, if I may.
All right, sir. Take care.
All right. We're going to go to Skip in California and then Murr in Wisconsin. Skip, you're on the air.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, you're talking about Eric Clapton and his son, Connor. Connor was the same age as my son, and the picture of him in the, Life or Time magazine looked like my son. And so I've always felt sad for Eric that he couldn't see his son grow up. And my son's now 31, and I've seen his marriage, and I've seen he's got a kid on the way. And, you know, Eric was robbed of all that, and that song really touches me and always had whenever I did hear it. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Skip. Yeah, it just, when you get that feeling, you know, and that's what, you know, keeping our people, that's what it's about. You know, what is the purpose of our lives? You know, it is really our children, and they carry forward who we are. So, you know, if you lose your child, my God, you know, you've lost everything. And there's no, all the other things we do, like, you know. I'm sorry.
People come up to me and just say, that looked like your son. And so, you know, it made it real for me, for Eric, that, you know, that if I'd lost my son tragically, it would have, you know, like, I mean, he had the talent, he had the wherewithal to write that song and get that song out, and it was just an amazing tribute to Connor, I thought.
Yeah.
He did that.
But that idea, you know, it just, Eric Clapton must have been, you know, deep in his sorrow for the loss of his son, when it just occurred to him, how can I talk to my boy? And if I saw him in heaven, would you know my name? You know, what a thought.
Right.
What a thought. And it's one of the most profound thoughts ever, I think, has ever been put in song. So thank you, Eric Clapton. And thank you, Skip.
Thank you.
Yeah. And boy, I'll tell you what, I'm sure the Trump phenomenon, I'm just kind of going to another topic here with you. Hasn't this been an amazing, talk about amazing things that happened to you? Hasn't the Trump phenomenon, the arrival of Donald Trump, is there anything else like it in our lives?
Well, interesting brought that up, if you want to go there, is I just finished that I came across that was dedicated in 1967 to the young people. In other words, listen to this, young people. I've got this story to tell you. And my father-in-law was FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he wrote a book called My Exploited Father-in-Law. And that was an amazing book to read on what can happen to a president when he gets to office and who starts pulling the strings. And he spills the beans. He tells about his story of dating FDR's daughter in the 20s. He was involved in World War I, how he got into that family and the things he saw in that family, and how FDR eventually was basically just taken over. It wasn't his ideas what he brought forth. He was an amazing orator. He could, you know, the cliche, sell ice to an Eskimo. He was just amazing.
Now, Skip, you spark a thought there with your comments, and that is, I think that the deep state has existed for, you know, the entirety of your life and mine, and it was there for FDR. And I think the deep state is used to, was not ready for a man as strong as Donald Trump. That they run into weaker people as president, people like George W. and George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, very flawed, very weak, very easily manipulated and blackmailed men and women. And so the deep state, and not very smart either. So the deep state is able to baffle them, confuse them, bribe them, coerce them into going along with, in other words, running the show. The deep state has been able to run the show. Donald Trump is this powerful, powerful man with fundamental ideas, dead set against the deep state, and he's not budging. And this is why they're having Trump derangement syndrome. They realize this man is the real deal. He hates our guts, and this is a war to the finish. It's a fight to the finish between Donald Trump and us deep staters by our thousands, as Tom Fitton so rightly said, the thousands. I love that comment from Tom Fitton. He said, the thousands of other James Comeys in the FBI. I love that comment. And that's what Donald Trump has had to deal with. When you mentioned that book, My Exploited Father-in-Law, that's what they expect. They expect to exploit anybody that gets elevated up into a political position.
Sure. Well, I hope your version is correct about Trump. And I'm not quite sold on that, but I just hope it's correct. Now, there are huge forces. Wilson recognized there are huge forces that you dare not speak above. I forget the exact quote. You talked about it.
It's
been here since 1776, so it's not a new phenomenon, actually.
Well, Donald Trump has spoken up about the deep state. I mean, he's named it the deep state, and he's named it the fake news media. And we're only 2.5 years into his presidency, 3 years into his arrival on the scene. And so we've got 5+ more years of his presidency. And I'm very confident now that it looks like it's going to be Pocahontas running against him. Either Pocahontas, I don't know who I would prefer as the weaker candidate, a Sleepy Joe or Pocahontas Elizabeth. They're both incredibly weak candidates. I think Donald Trump will have no trouble beating either of them.
I would be nice to see Hillary pop her head out at some point.
Well, yeah, sorry. Hillary is, yeah. No, Hillary's toast, and, you know, all the other possibilities. It's going to be Joe or Warren, Biden or Warren. Harris is such a nasty person. Everybody can see it now. She's eliminated herself. There's nobody else in the picture. And we're going to have a good time. This is not going to be, we're going to enjoy this next election together.
I hope you have a real choice. Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. We're running out of time. Murr, my apologies. Didn't get to your call. Or Cannon Fort Worth, apologies to you. Come on back on Sunday when we've got a 2-hour show. See you all then here in the Trump Clubhouse.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.